said last night that we were going to consider some things from Peter and to consider something of Peter's life. I'd like you to go to 1 Peter with me first of all. 1 Peter chapter 1. We read in this verse, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Very briefly, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter identifies himself as. But what kind of a man was Peter, anyhow? We read a book sometimes and we wonder about the person who wrote that book. What kind of an individual was he? Sometimes we get him way far away, and we don't put hair on his head and eyes in his face, and he's at a distance from us, and we see him some holy man of God that was called of God, and we've got him up on a pedestal, and to a measure rightly so. The apostles were very distinct. They were above the normal man. They had a specific call of God in a specific way. But as we look at Peter, we see so many things of ourselves in Peter. We get a look at Peter and we get some of the idea of his impetuousness, his quickness to move, his impulsiveness, his strengths in one moment and his weaknesses in the next. And yet we see a man that God laid his hand upon. Peter was rather impulsive in his lifetime, and I'm going to take you to some scriptures this morning that you can run through with me. Let's go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to follow some of the things of Peter's life. You remember in Matthew 14 that the Lord Jesus here was speaking with Peter, and we get an idea of Peter in an impulsive act here, and yet an act that showed real faith in Peter's life. So many times we whittle Peter down, but with it I'd like just you to see a contrast. See, many times we have weaknesses, but there is a strength to counteract it. And in Peter's life here in chapter 14, a little background. You remember that they were sent across the lake in the boat, in the water. And they were rowing. It was a difficult time. There was a storm on the water, and they had gone out into the forest or into the night, and in that last watch, they see the Lord Jesus walking toward them. And we read in verse 27, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? Look at this man for a moment in his boat. The Lord had commanded him to go across the other side. They were in the will of God. They were on that boat, but they were in a storm. They were working hard, but going nowhere. And the Lord Jesus comes walking on the water that night, and they see him coming. And the Lord speaks. Peter's got a question. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. And the Lord simply said, Come. Now, there were 12 men in the boat. There was only one man with the courage to say, Lord, bid me come to thee. There was only one man in that boat who was willing to walk on the water. We can see good characteristics in John. We see him as a disciple whom the Lord loved. John had an awareness of the love, and we could pick out good characteristics in the rest of them. But here's a man who showed contrast so strong sometimes, like we do. And that's my reason for looking at this before we look at the book. Here's a man that showed the contrast of immediate of faith. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. An impulsive act, and yet it seems to be an act of faith, if it be thou. As long as it's you, Lord, you bid me come and I'll come. And so the Lord said, Come. Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. Now the other contrast. Peter saw the storm and Peter was afraid. So many times as we talk to one another, we say, well, Peter took his eyes off the Lord and he saw the storm. And all that's true. But we forget the courage that that man had in the first place when he said, Lord, bid me come to thee. And so many times we will enter into the same situation. We we will see on one hand a strong faith that leads us out, and then as we get walking in the way, things come, the storm comes, trial comes, we get afraid. And suddenly the fear is there, and then we have the need to be called back and our eyes to be fixed on Him. And so in Peter's impulsiveness, we can see strong faith, and yet immediately just the opposite, a weakness of faith, and a need to have that faith strengthened as he turned to Him. Chapter 17. And in chapter 17 and verse 4, we see again Peter in an impulsive way speaking forth. Then Jesus then answered Peter and said, Lord Jesus, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three booths, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You remember the scene well, don't you? They were taken to the Mount of Transfiguration, the three men that were close to the Lord, Peter, James, and John. And as they're there, and they see the Lord in the glory, and they see Moses and Elijah transfigured with the Lord, they hear the discussion of the decease of the Lord, of His death. And Peter immediately does something we all do sometimes. We figure we got to say something. We got to talk. The moment is there, and there must be something we ought to say. And so Peter speaks in that impulsive way, Lord, let's build three tabernacles, three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And Peter put them on the same plane as the other men. But he was higher than that, and so God had to speak at that moment. And this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. It's a good thing to be quiet and to listen. You know, I've learned a few things, or I'm still learning. Bless your heart, I haven't got it learned yet. I learn that day by day. About the time I think I got a lesson learned, I wake up to the fact I haven't. There are some prayers that sometimes we need to learn to pray in our life. If we're like Peter, and we're an impulsive person, and we speak too quick, then we need to pray that prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 143, or 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, upon my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. We need to take James' word of advice. Be quick to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Peter was quick to speak, and God wanted him to hear His Son. I believe that there's a cure for our trouble of being quick to speak, and that's to be careful to listen to the Lord Jesus, to listen to what His Word has to say to us. And so we just get a quick glimpse of the impulsiveness of Peter. But Peter was a man, on one hand, was given to self-sacrifice. You read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 18. Peter there is told by the Lord to follow me. And we reread, immediately he forsook all and he followed Him. Self-sacrifice. Then on the other hand, you can read of Peter saying later on, Lord, we've left all and followed Thee. What will You now give us? Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought, well, I've gone this far with You, Lord. I've done what I can do for You. What are You going to give me, Lord? What are You going to benefit me with? See, Peter was looking at, isn't that a contrast in our lives, the same as Peter? We're so quick to do that. Lord, I've done this for You. What are You going to do for me? But you know, Peter was a man that, on the other hand, could make a strong confession. Matthew 16:18, where he confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in a moment, those same lips are saying to Him, be it far from Thee, Lord. Remember, in that same chapter, he makes that confession, and then the Lord begins to speak about His own death and burial and resurrection. And Peter says, be that far from Thee, Lord. That's not Your portion, Lord. And what does the Lord do? He addresses Satan directly through Peter. He was talking to Peter, but he was talking to Satan, and he said, Satan. He addressed him directly. Now, beloved, it's a strange thing that lips that one moment can praise God in the way that Peter did, in acknowledgement of who he is, not too much later allow Satan to speak through him. We need to have the realization of what kind of vessels we really are. Even though we have great victories in a moment, there's a chance for a great defeat as well. And so we need that strength. Now as we see some of the contrast in the man, I'd like you to look at his conversion. And I believe in John's Gospel chapter 1, where the Lord Jesus is speaking to him. I'd like you to go there with me, if you will, please. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 41 and 42. You remember there were the two there that day who were standing, and they saw the Lord Jesus walk by. And John the Baptist identified them. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." And immediately they left off following John the Baptist, and they followed the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said, "Come and see." Those two men, one of them identified as Andrew, the other one not given by name, and there's a good probability that it was John himself, because John writes of himself only as a disciple whom Jesus loved. He does not name himself in the Gospel of John. And so here, we read that Andrew goes forth after they had spent those hours with the Savior. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. It's interesting in just the title here what the Lord did. He said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah." He identified Peter in the flesh, the natural birth and the natural man. We're going to see a little bit when the Lord puts Simon to the test, he goes back to that same place and he calls Simon, son of Jonah. Even after he had walked with the Lord a long way. You see, it's possible, even when the life is changed, for that old flesh to come there and raise its head again and then need to be rebuked. And in Peter's case, it was rebuked by the Lord himself. But at any rate here, it's Simon, son of Jonah, the natural man. That's who you are. But here's who you will be. Peter. A stone. And that's what he called him. He changed his name from Simon, son of Jonah, to Peter, a stone. Now, I believe that at that time there, Simon is taken up to follow the Lord Jesus because he sees who he is. He has that idea of the nature being changed from that old to the new name. But in Simon's life, there are several calls. Perhaps this was the first one. The second one, a good probability, when Simon was with the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Remember, the Lord Jesus comes walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And I'm sure that as he stood to preach that day, there were a great multitude about him. We read in verse 1, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into the one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boat, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that was with him, at the draught of the fish that they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Simon Peter is brought, before he is given the commission that he's going to catch men, he's brought to see something, and that's to see himself. Can you envision that day as the Lord comes along and these two men are at their nets, at their boats, doing the normal process of life? And as they're doing that, they see him come. The crowd pushes him back to the shore of the sea. And so now he sees the two boats, and he gets on the boat and he says, Cast out a little from the land. And when they push out a little way, he stands there and he preaches to the multitude. And now he's ready to give back Peter a little rent for the boat. I believe the Lord multiplies everything that we give to him. He's going to multiply it either here or hereafter. I do not look, I better clarify this in a moment, okay? I do not look for riches here, in case you get this a wrong idea from what I said. I do not look for riches here. He never promised that to the church, did he? He promised to the church spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What we look for is the spiritual. We look for what we're going to have and be with him one day. Israel looked for all the physical things. They looked for the abundance that he had promised. They were an earthly people. He promised them earthly blessing. We're a heavenly people. He promises us heavenly blessing. But he does multiply things in joy, in families. I've often thought, when I became a Christian, I came from a divided home. My father walked out on my mother when I was less than a year old. She put us in a children's home till she married again. And when I grew up, I saw that stepfather as loving his own children, but not having a real love for me. So consequently, I looked for love. I wanted someone to draw near to me. And I guess a good share of my life, I looked for that. Till a boy about 10, sitting in a little meeting one night, and all week long, hearing a man preach the gospel, shaking me over the flames of hell, fear in my heart, thinking everybody would look at me. Everybody knew that I was headed for hell. And you know, at the end of that week, that man began to preach about the love of God. And that's what touched this little boy's heart. Say, Bill, weren't you sitting next to me that night? I think so. At any rate, you know, that preacher was looking at the door. They used to do that, stick out their hands, you get saved yet, you know? And I didn't want to lie to him, and so every night I run him a race to the door. But the last night, you know, I walked right by him, and he never even asked me if I got saved. But I couldn't keep it in. I didn't get too far, and I saw my mother coming. She wasn't to the meeting that night, but she was coming after her little boy. And I yelled from a half a block away, Hey, Mom, I got saved tonight. I couldn't keep it in. But, you know, from that moment, my family grew. I used to be a pilot. That's how I made my living. I flew all over the United States, and a guy I flew with never ceased to be amazed. He told the boss that one day. He said, You don't have to worry about Ray. Every town we go to, he picks up the telephone, he makes a call, and he's got an invitation for dinner. He said, I don't understand that. We got a gigantic family in the Lord. He binds us together in himself, and we can rejoice in that. Here, though, where he calls to Peter, he says, Push out a little from the land. And he rewarded him. He filled the boats. But when he filled the boats, Peter saw his glory. Peter saw his glory reflected in that miracle of fishing that Peter knew something about. I fished all night and I didn't catch a fish. And suddenly, in obedience to the command of the Lord, that boat's full. Now, what's Peter do? Peter did the same thing sometimes we do when we see God working in such a wondrous way in our life. We fall on our face before him. We realize what creatures we are, how weak our faith is at very best, but what a power our God is. Peter saw that. He said, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. But you know, the Lord gave him his next commission. And he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'd just like to throw this out to you a minute, beloved. I believe that God would like us all to do that, to be fishers of men. You'll notice Paul in writing or in speaking to Timothy And the message that he gives through Timothy, through the Holy Spirit, he says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. I do not believe for a minute Timothy was an evangelist. I see in the book of Philippians a clear picture of a shepherd, a man who will care for your soul. Paul said, I see no man like-minded who will care for your soul. Timothy had a pastor's heart. Timothy was a tender man, who was not so outgoing, but rather quiet. And maybe that was a nervous stomach he had, and maybe that's why Paul told him to take a little that would help that condition. At any rate, he told him to do the work of an evangelist. You know, beloved, that's something we can all do. Not to be an evangelist, but to do the work, to be an evangel, to carry the good message of the gospel. I don't believe that ever ceases. Sometimes we think we're too young, we don't have the gift, or we're too old, and we make excuses. And yet we have the blessed message of the good news of the gospel. And the gospel is this, as defined in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the definition of the gospel. That's what we need to keep clear in our mind when we're talking to men. That Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now I'd like you to go to John's gospel with me to chapter 21. Here's where Peter received that third call. And this time, it's to do a shepherd's work. We remember Peter has gone through the time of the crucifixion, the time of the denial, and the crucifixion of the Lord. There's the sorrow in Peter's heart, and a lot of things have moved in Peter's life. And now Peter comes to this place. He's seen the risen Lord, and a few days have gone by, and they're out fishing again. And the Lord is there on the shore, makes a little fire, has something for him to eat. They fished all night and he calls, children, have you any meat? You've been working, do you have any meat? He knew they were empty-handed and they come to the shore and he feeds them. And then he addresses Simon Peter directly. And we read verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. You notice what he goes back to? The same title he used of Peter when he brought him to his conversion, Simon, son of Jonah. Wonder why the Holy Spirit did that. I believe he wants us to see the natural man in the failure, but the test that the Lord makes in tenderness that he made with him. You know, the Lord is ever there to encourage us and pick us up. And so he said, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And then he did it again in verse 16. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And then the third time, can you remember Peter had denied him three times, and now he's bringing him to a threefold confession, and yet a threefold commission. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Notice it says to my heart, oh, the Lord knew what he was doing in the testing of Peter, and it got home to his heart. It grieved him to know what he had done. Oh, Peter knew ahead of time. Peter grieved before this time, didn't he? Remember when Peter was out there at the fire in the courtyard, and Peter looks up and he looks inside and he sees the Lord standing and looking at him after that cock crowed, and Peter went out, and what did he do? He went out and he wept. He wept because of his denial. But here again, that denial is reminded there has to be the open confession before the Lord. And so the third time Peter says, now, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. He knew the Lord could understand looking into his very heart, and he said, feed my sheep. Now, there's two words given to us here. Feed is the common word that's given in the King James, and that's bosco. It means feed him fodder, give him food. But the other word is poimen, and it means to tend the sheep. And you got the same idea here. It is the feeding fodder to the sheep, and it is the tending of the sheep, the care of the sheep. And so on Peter's third call to complete this commission, first one in salvation, second one in catching men, and the third one now caring for the lambs, the little ones, and for the sheep to feed them and to tend them. See, I think it's up to the older sheep to tend the lambs, but the lambs need feeding. They need feeding. They need the food. And so Peter here is called to that work. Beloved, as we've just taken a quick look at a few things in the man who said Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he identifies what he is some years later as he sits down, a chosen one sent of God. Peter is called. He is called to fish for men. Peter is called, and he's commanded now, feed my sheep. You know, I'm struck, and because I have older ones here today, I'd like to say this to you. The older women have a work, that's to feed the younger women, isn't it? He says in Titus chapter 2, is it? And, I think that's right. Better look. At any rate, he tells them that the older women should feed the younger women, or the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. There is the sense of the presbyteros here, given in the female, the older women to teach. So there is the place for both, the strengthening of the younger ones and the place that he gives to us. May we have the desire to be like Peter. Naturally, we are like Peter. But we need to take up what God has given him to do and then what he did. So we thank the Lord for his word this morning. We bless thee, our Father, for the word that you have left with us to show us men as men are. We thank thee that you can take vessels of clay that are broken vessels and remold them and shape them for your glory. Thank thee, Father, for what you did in the life of Peter, but we thank thee as well for what you've done in our lives. How you've taken some of us from that place and where we were as natural men, walking in our own way, according to our own lust and our own desires, according to a spirit of disobedience that worked within us. And yet you called us, you drew us, you made us nigh through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then through your Spirit and through your Word, you began to change us, to mold us, to shape us, to be conformed to the image of your Son. We bless thee for it, Father. Help us to ever hold it before us, that we might know that you've given us a commission as well. We thank thee for your Word this morning. And we pray that God the Holy Spirit would bless it to our heart, for we ask it in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.